we're now on page 20. Which is an application relating to 23 Dartford Close Parkside. So, John, you want to present this?
Thank you, Chairman. This is an application for the change of use of the property from use class C3 dwelling house to C2 residential institution. The property is situated at the end of cul-de-sac. You can see on the screen, it's red edge on the plan. Property situated at the end of the cul-de-sac where railings separate the side of the property from the verge of the A34. This is to provide a small children's home for a maximum of 3 children between the ages of 8 and 18, and is similar to a number of other proposals submitted for this type of use. Some applications have been submitted to the Council for lawful development certificates, and a smaller number for planning permission for change of use, such as this application is. The difference being that in both cases there is a change of use, but to be able to grant a lawful development certificate, it would need to be demonstrated that the change of use is not material. The planning statement for this application describes that there will be 3 staff on duty during the daytime and 2 at night. The care is provided by two staff who will work on a 2 days on, 4 days off rota pattern, with one changing over each morning. The additional daytime worker is a manager. No external changes are proposed to the property, and it has sufficient hard surfacing to the front to provide the 4 off-street parking spaces shown. Since the report was completed, 4 additional representations have been received, which quote similar reasons to those listed on page 30, or if you've got the earlier version of the report, 28 of the agenda. But those additional representations also add a reference to antisocial behaviour from previous residents of the property, and suggest that the use would cause stress to the community and would raise issues of safety for the local aged, young and vulnerable. Turning to the presentation, you can see, as I said, the plan on the screen. So you can see the property is at the end of a cul-de-sac. Opposite the property is open space. You can see clearly on the aerial photograph. Looking now at the images, we're just going to look at 2, 3 and 4. So 2 is looking at the front of the property. So you can see that the frontage is all paved. So it's got an attached garage where the bins are. So there's space there for 4 vehicles. Image 3. This is the outlook from the front of the property looking onto the open space, and you can see the railings along the side that split that area from the A34. And then the 4th image is taken from outside the property looking down Dartford Close. So the property is just off the screen to the right, and the A34 and the railings are situated behind the camera.
What is that behind the lamppost there?
Behind the lamppost is fencing for a different property at the front of the front garden of another property.
Okay.
Turning on to the plans, the plan 1 shows the location plan and the 4 parking spaces that I referred to. Plan 2 shows the floor plans of the property. You can see on the floor plans that it provides 5 bedrooms, that there are 5 bedrooms in the property, which is why we're talking about up to 3 children and 2 staff who will be there 24 hours a day. And the final plan, plan three, just shows the wider area of the site. As I say, Chairman, the application is recommended for approval subject to the conditions listed in the agenda. Thank you.
Thank you. Well, this is Claire Buckley. Do you like to come to the table? You have, as I said, what seems like a long time ago, you have 3 minutes. You just speak and the light will come on.
Okay. I'm a team manager for a looked after children's team in local authority, working extremely closely with a variety of children's homes and commissioners. I have extensive experience to review inaccuracies in this application and case officer's report. We as residents raise a number of concerns as to why the location of this property is highly unsuitable to use as a children's home. This is not about middle class homeowners saying not on our doorstep. Indeed, we support what the care company wants to achieve. It is admirable. Every child matters and every child deserves a chance. Disappointingly though, the property owner and care company are setting up the children to fail. We challenge the notion that the children they admit to their home will not be posing a risk in the community, and the community will not see any difference to any other home. Local authorities do not pay for their clinical provision at around £5,000 per week per child unless a child absolutely needs it, because they are highly dysregulated, highly at risk to themselves and others, and cannot manage emotionally within a family home. Disturbances to neighbours are a certainty. The home is too small, making it more likely for disturbance to occur. It is a poorly adapted, 5-bedroomed home with very small facilities. This lack of space will make it extremely difficult for staff to calm situations where a child or children are in a high emotional state, likely to heighten the situation, again spilling out into the community. The large green playing area in front of the home is accessed by many children on the estate. It will be very difficult to risk manage this. There is a very busy dual carriageway adjacent to the home, making it high likely risk of harm to children dysregulated. It is unlawful to restrain or lock in children. The proposal suggests that there are 4 parking spaces in front of the property. This is not the case. Car doors cannot be opened with 4 cars on there. No dropping of curbs will change this fact. There will be an overspill of cars with 3 staff on shift, plus the manager, and then changeover of staff, in addition to a high level of professional visitors on a daily basis, certainly over and above usual family visiting. Children who are so dysregulated are not likely to be able to engage in education until they have their emotional needs met. Local education provisions are highly oversubscribed. There has been no consultation with any local health or education provision as such, no understanding as to the impact on services and the ease of access for these young children.
1 minute left.
There is a national crisis for more placements. Children will be placed from all over the country. This is not necessarily a home for local children. It will be very attractive for authorities afar to move children here, highly at risk of exploitation, easily groom with the children in this community to be exploited or engage in antisocial behaviour. The care company will not necessarily be aware of such risks. The property itself housed a gentleman with mental health difficulties previously. Neighbours have called the police hundreds of times due to disturbances and antisocial behaviour over many, many years, with little to no response from authorities or services, leaving the hell to continue for neighbours. Neighbours have little faith that this will be any different. So why should these residents pay the price for what is a national crisis across the country for more children's provisions? Have they not endured enough? Is this not an infringement of their human rights, the right to a peaceful enjoyment of their home, which is Article 1 of the Human Rights Act?
Thank you. Your time is up. Thank you. Mr. Dwyer.
Outcomes. We have 10 years experience of delivering quality residential childcare and creating homes which are safe and nurturing, enabling our children to recover from past experiences and recognise their potential. At 23 Darnford Close would become the 4th home, caring for 3 children supported by 2 adults each day, very similar to a normal family. Within the organisation, we are fortunate position to have a huge amount of experienced professionals, for which I myself am 17 years experience with 7 years of leading organisations to achieve Ofsted recognised good and outstanding homes. Alongside myself, we have a clinical director and operations manager who are all focused on ensuring that we deliver the highest levels of care for our children. We could not deliver these quality services if we did not ensure that we carefully consider the location of our homes and that our young people that we support within them. We can clearly evidence that our young people live happily and successfully within communities such as Darnford Close. Indeed, when opening a home in Gabowin, residents shared similar concerns. Now, however, we have fully immersed ourselves in the community and the children are benefiting from these positive relationships, and this can be said across all three of our services. Alongside this, we have built an excellent reputation as a valued employer in the areas that we are based, with the obvious economic benefits this has for the local community. With positive outcomes currently having no staffing vacancies across our organisation, which is very rare for our industry, and a testament to our culture and ethos. We would like to connect with the community at Darnford Close, and following what felt like a productive meet and greet on the 19th of July, we now feel that we have a better sense of the residents' concerns, having spent the evening listening and chatting to approximately 20 or 30 people, and will continue holding further dialogue with the community and building the relationships. We currently have three homes within our service, all of which are in urban residential communities like Darnford Close. It is important to note that we are regulated by Ofsted and receive monthly independent audits of our homes. A key marker within our inspections is how we are encouraging and supporting our children to engage within the community to support their development and social connections. I'm very pleased to say that all of our homes are rated as good with Ofsted currently. Our vision for Darnford Close is to create a safe and nurturing home for our children who can live and thrive within a community environment. We believe our application meets all the necessary planning requirements, and approving this application would demonstrate the Council's drive to support the most vulnerable in society and the local community, with us already holding a close working relationship with Staffordshire Children's Commissioning Team, who I know are very keen for our home to open and support the demand within this area. Thank you for your time.
Thank you. Can I ask the Ward Councillor, Councillor Price? And Councillor Cross, you both plan to speak, is that correct?
Yes, Chairman.
Thank you.
So, good evening, Chairman, officers, committee members and members of the public. My name is Jonathan Price, I'm the Borough Councillor for the Holmcroft Ward, alongside my fellow councillor here, Brian Cross. As you may know, I'm a Cabinet Member at Staffordshire County Council, and through my position, one of my responsibilities is to safeguard and support looked after children. This makes me a corporate parent. So I need to make it clear from the start that care homes are necessary, especially when we don't have other options for children that we are struggling to find foster care for. But it is imperative that these homes must be in the right place, not only for residents, but for the safety and the well-being of our looked after children. A local assessment must be done as part of a Government Children's Homes application process, and this involves considering the views of local bodies, including the local authority children's services, and showing that you understand the environment, the community, the risks and local services, and that you can promote children's safety and welfare. You have to address any safeguarding concerns and assess whether the home's location raises any safeguarding issues, including whether it is close to environmental hazards, such as reservoirs, railway lines, or busy roads. And remember, these are government words, not mine. The property may sit at the end of a quiet residential cul-de-sac. However, as you can see from the photos, and particularly the site plan, the house is next to the busy A34. This is possibly the busiest dual carriageway in Stafford, and for this reason alone, I have major concerns for any child that may get onto that road. Image 4 shows the gap recently put in to give residents access to the bus stop, and it will allow direct access to the main road by vulnerable children from this proposed change of use. The house itself has a brick wall running along the side of the property, which also poses a safeguarding risk as it can easily be scaled and leads immediately onto the A34 main road. The road at this point by the house has a speed of 40 miles an hour. However, many vehicles travel at faster speeds, and the speed camera van is regularly parked nearby to find speed in traffic. If this need highlighted further, the speed camera on this stretch of the road is only put in place after evidence of a high need of serious accidents or deaths has been recorded. A child in distress doesn't think about the speed of traffic. They will run into the road and they certainly won't use the pedestrian crossing located further down. Furthermore, we don't know the category of registration that this applicant will apply to cater for, and this troubles me greatly, as they can cater for children with emotional and or behavioural difficulties, or possibly with drug or alcohol dependency. Given the concerns about the A34, can we honestly say that we will safeguard these vulnerable children? The application also states there is ample parking for four vehicles. I've visited the site and you cannot reasonably park more than three vehicles on the parking provided. There is no on-road parking. Again, if you look at the plan photo, you can clearly see the turning circle for the road in front of the house. There are no parking bays. The bin wagons have to use this area to turn, as do the residents and delivery drivers, ambulances and fire engines. The street is too narrow to allow these vehicles to turn around on the street. And again, there is no on-road parking. So if you have three-day workers, one manager, four cars, what about deliveries? Ambulance, social worker, handover, visitors, where do they park? There is nowhere. The document is misleading, and despite Highways having no objections, the factors I've mentioned evidently have not been taken into consideration. I have looked at other similar applications across the county and the same thing comes up time and time again. One application, the planning officer said, proposed use would be likely to affect the property and the surroundings by virtue of the nature of the children being accommodated in the property, the number of staff and the effects of coming and going from the property and the type of children having potential emotional and behavioural issues. This may result in disturbances to the surrounding neighbours. Another stated that noise and disturbance at staff handover times would be above and beyond what reasonably be expected from a residential property of this size. I'd also like to believe the local residents' objections have been taken into consideration, not just noted. 82. I met with officers of the County Council responsible for placing looked after children, and they informed me, quote, that they had met with the application for this applicant for this care home and had advised him that this was not an appropriate location. He chose to ignore this advice despite the government application process stating that the views of the local body should be considered as previously stated. On a personal note, I have to question whether homes such as this are purely about profit first and welfare of our most vulnerable children second.
What time's that?
May I wrap up, please?
Yeah.
I would therefore ask the committee to refuse this application on the reasons I have stated. Highway issues due to traffic generation, vehicle access and highway safety, noise or disturbance, incompatible or unacceptable use, fear of crime and a cumulative impact on their neighbourhood. Thank you.
Thank you. Pass across.
Thank you, Chairman. Mr. Chairman, members, officers, members of the public, you have heard the strong objections from both Councillor Price and the objector, Claire Beckerleg. I will just add a few comments of my own to supplement their objections. Para 22 of the report refers to policy C3, which I believe is intended for new build premises, but our officers have interpreted that it can be used for existing premises. Yet, if you read policy C3, para C3, it states, the development does not have an adverse impact on the amenity of adjoining properties through excessive noise, light pollution, loss of privacy and excessive traffic movements. I beg to differ, it does. And I believe that this development will have an adverse effect on the local amenity. What also surprised me is that the police have no objections to this application. But if you look at page 27 of your report and look at the comments and recommendation, it indicates to me that they have graver concerns about the application. And for those that haven't read it, I'll go through it. The plan is to have a maximum of children aged between 8 and 18 years of age staying any time. However, there is no indication of what risk assessment will be undertaken when introducing a new child to the home. Each child should be risk assessed again in relation to any new arrival. There's no indication of what level of supervision will be provided to each child. Will they be able to move freely and return to the home? Are there policies in place if a child should go missing? The home is located near the busy A34. It is highly recommended that any child with mental health or suicidal ideations is not placed at this address. It's recommended door contact sensors are installed on all external doors and windows, especially those above the rear flat roof of the garden room, which will then alert the staff if a window or door has been opened during the night. It is recommended CCTV is installed to provide coverage for the front of the property. This will be helpful, especially if a child goes missing. This will be able to provide vital information regarding time of departure, clothing worn, and if any vehicle collected the child. If planning permission is granted, it's very important to notify the police once the care home is operational, so the police are aware of the management process for both the staff and children in care. Well, to say they have no objections, those observations and recommendations indicate to me that they have grave concerns. You've heard Councillor Price state that the County Council officers responsible for children advised the developer this was not an appropriate location, yet they chose to ignore that advice. A couple of more things. The supporter mentioned a meeting which was held with residents. They only gave 24-hour notice, and strangely enough, it happened to be on the night that the councillors could not attend, as it was a full council meeting. Councillor Price mentioned the gap in the fence. There are also several palings in the metal fencing that aren't there, and we know what the one closer to the house was used by the previous resident's son as a way of getting in and out close to his home instead of having to go round the Reeking. I'm a governor at Parkside Academy, which is an oversubscribed, and classes are at a maximum capacity, and yet room will have to be made to accommodate these children, thus causing even more overcrowding. In view of all this, members, I ask you to refuse this application on the following material planning conditions: incompatible or unacceptable uses, fear of crime, cumulative impact on the neighbourhood, and of course the ones Councillor Price has mentioned, transport, roads, accessibility. Thank you, Chairman.
Thank you, sir. Are there any comments that the committee or questions that the committee want to ask? Councillor Hobbs.
Not sure if I can be heard. I've got one of these houses in the road where I live, and it's on a main road, and it's on a corner, and it's set back, and it's not a really busy road, and we've got children living there, and we don't hear anything from them at all. Which is, you know, really, because, I mean, I saw the sign on the lamppost and thought, you know, what's going to happen, and then it's been fine. But I'm not sure how appropriate it is to be in a cul-de-sac on an estate like this, because, you know, that will impact so many people in a close if there are issues, and I agree that that busy road is a real risk. That is a real risk, actually.
The A34?
Yeah.
Councillor Phillips.
Thank you, Chairman. It seems that there's been a number of concerns that are raised, and evidently a lot of residents that seem to be against this, and all for very similar reasons. It is a family estate. These people that have concerns have raised children on this estate, on that street. But the concerns that have been given are very real. So this isn't about not wanting a children's home in that area. It is purely about it being in the right place. And the dangers that having that A34 so close to that house, it's scary. It really is scary. And I would hate to be reading a newspaper article that is outlining all the fears that seem to be raised tonight. I don't support this application for all the reasons that have been outlined. I think that it is the wrong building in the wrong setting next to a main road, and I think that it's all the reasons that have been laid out by the borough councillors, I agree with. So I would like to propose to refuse this application based on the reasons outlined by the councillors.
Chairman, just similar to the last application, that the reason needs to come from a member of the committee.
Chairman, it might be useful just to remind members that there have not been any objections from Highways or from the Environmental Health Officer. So they just need to bear that in mind, that they need a really good reason to go against the statutory consultee's advice.
Thank you.
If I can come back on that, please, Chairman. It very much depends on whether Highways have actually looked at the street that it's in, or whether they've even taken the main road into consideration, the gap in the railings into consideration, and the reality of having children with potential needs in that house. And I have to say, the fact that it's not even clear on here the type of children and the complex needs that may have to be fulfilled is also a little bit disturbing, because we don't know what support these children need. We don't know, so we can't say that these that it's not going to impact on the residents. We can't say that it's not a potential issue having the main road next to it, because there's no evidence of the complex needs of the children that...
I think as a committee, Councillor, we do need to accept that the statutory consultees have undertaken their task responsibly, properly. Councillor Trowbridge.
Thank you, Mr Chairman. I just would like to start this with thanking the gentleman for everything you do for our looked after children in Staffordshire. We do have children with special needs and children that have had awful starts in life. So firstly, may I thank you and your team for everything you do. And I'm sure that comes from Councillor Hood as well, as we're both corporate parents at Staffordshire County Council. My only concern was the road, and listening to what you've just said, it's a bit disturbing, because that road is a very busy road, and it is right next to it. But if we can't use the road because of
as a reason,
if that's what Highways were saying, I can't see another reason that we could send this back. At the end of the day, everyone needs accommodation, don't they? I know, but what worries me, is it the right accommodation for our children? But I can't see another reason.
Councillor Nixon put his hand up.
Thank you, Chairman. Could I clarify, please,
Who was it on the county council that said this was not a suitable location?
Will you clarify that, please, Councillor Price?
I sit on the Children's Improvement Board and I met with the team last week to discuss accommodations such as this. I mentioned the Darford Close one and they said we spoke to the gentleman on the phone and advised him not to use that and he chose to ignore us.
Councillor Pardaisy? Sorry. Councillor Phillips, yeah.
Chairman.
I'll come back to you, Councillor.
I just need to point out that the Highways Authority are discussing Darford Close and that there are no personal injury collisions on this section of Darford Close. They're not looking at the A34. This is not something that the Highways Authority have taken into consideration on this application. So I don't feel that we can't bring that forward as reason to refuse, because it's not even being discussed by the Highways Authority. They're not referencing it. They're referencing a completely different area.
Chairman, if it helps, I think the reference was to highway safety, and clearly the County Council and the Highway Authority. I hear what Councillor Phillips says, I don't doubt she's right in terms of they will have looked at Darford Close, and you can see from the response on it describes what the proposal is, what the road is, the speed limit, access, and the improved frontage of the property providing off-street parking. So clearly they've looked at the proposal. I think you've got to bear in mind that you can only take material planning considerations into account. I think there's a problem in suggesting that highway safety is an issue about a road that isn't directly outside the property.
Sorry, through you, Chairman, I disagree with that. It is over the wall in the back garden.
Yeah, I'm close.
It is out the front door, through the railings, right by the house, close. If you run off across the green, you've got an access to the main road. You're talking about children that are potentially in distress, that may choose to run off. And if that happens, and let's admit it, it frequently does in various residential accommodation for children because of the complex needs, then potentially one of those children will collide with the car, we will have a serious injury or potential death on our hands. And so if Highways Authority have chosen not to look at it from that perspective or have not realised that that is the perspective that we're going to be looking at it from, then they've got it wrong, quite frankly.
Okay. Councillor Phillips, what I'm trying to do is to get you to a recommendation, if that's what you want to do, that would stand up on appeal. If the problem with suggested highway safety and the ability of a child to run into a road, I don't know how you're going to demonstrate that. In the same way that you could, if it was near to a railway line, you could say they're going to walk onto the railway. Highway safety, the consideration is things like on-street parking, whether there's adequate visibility and things like that for the operation of the highway. It's not about the ability of somebody to walk into a road, because you've got that possibility all over the place.
Councillor Pardaisy, you wanted to come back.
Yeah, thank you, Chair. Councillor Price was asked who objected at the County Council, and he told us about comments that were made at some education committee or whatever, but unless that evidence is in this, surely that is hearsay.
Well, it goes back to what I said before. You can only take into account material planning considerations.
Yeah. Councillor Hood.
Thank you, Chairman.
as Councillor Trowbridge pointed out, I too am a corporate parent, and that means that I sit on a committee that scrutinises every decision that's taken for looked after children. Children will go missing. We hear it all the time when we go on a Regulation 44 visit to residential homes. These children are not locked in. And if they want to leave, they can just walk out of the door. There is something that concerns me that when I read this report, it seems to be that the care is one size fits all. We don't actually know what needs, either physical, mentally, or any other needs that these children are going to have to be addressed by, as the gentleman speaking for it, the so-called professional people, but then I see that they're going to be inviting for local people to come forward. And I doubt that they will be trained to look after these children's unique needs. What I will say is that I live on the A34 in Stone. It's a very, very busy road. I have a six-year-old that is at my house most of the time. I don't have a gate on the front drive. And I have two lots of looked after children in close proximity to me. There has never, ever been a case of when these children run out. And I will say, as a grandmother and as a parent, obviously, we tend to get distracted with our children. There may be a phone rings, or the dog needs looking after, or somebody else is demanding our attention. Whereas in these homes, the people who are caring for these children are on the children's case 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. They have to be. They are professionals. They understand the needs of these children. So at the moment, I am supporting this application unless I'm persuaded otherwise by members of this committee. Thank you, Chairman.
Thank you, Councillor. I'll let two other people who indicated to speak. You indicated that you wanted to come back to what Mr. Holmes was saying. Is there anything? Do you want to come back?
I will come back in a moment.
Okay. Have we got Does anybody else want to speak?
Page 20.
Excuse me, was anything that I said was taken into consideration?
Yes, it was. I wrote down notes.
Okay, because I'm going to just highlight a paragraph where I said these children are going to be significantly high-risk children, highly dysregulated, because of the local authority. You don't pay.
Sorry, you can't just intervene like that in the committee. Sorry.
I don't feel that we've been listened to as residents. I don't feel that what I've said has been taken into consideration.
Please, Councillor Trowbridge.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Myself, again, and Jill Hood, know a lot more about corporate parenting than you realise.
I'm sorry, you disputed my
experience. Please, no.
No, I'm sorry. No. It's lovely that you've had this gentleman here.
I'm not saying your experience, I'm just trying to speak on your behalf. That we do understand that, yes, when you're being paid huge amounts of money, it is for the very difficult children. And when you've got a home that is only taking one child, that is the most difficult child. We understand the whole process, we deal with it week after week at the county. So all of us, I'm sure, listen to every little bit that everybody said here. Then we have to take the whole thing into consideration and decide ourselves which way we go on planning considerations. So I just thought I would speak for you, so please now don't have a go at me.
Please, I can't have these interventions. Do you want to make a proposal in relation to this application?
Yes, I want to continue, please. I know we've had references to one child. I have a lot of members of my family who foster children that obviously are have all sorts of difficulties. But we're talking about children here that are difficult to place in foster accommodation because of the complex needs. Because of those complex needs. So this is not about one-on-one. One-on-one is a child that's been placed in foster care that can cope, deal, has the capacity to be able to understand the needs of that child. These are children who cannot be placed in the traditional foster care environment because of these complex needs. And I'm sorry, but I do feel that the reasons that are set laid out within this application should be taken seriously. And I think that we should, well, I'd like to propose that this application is refused on noise or disturbance resulting from use, incompatible or unacceptable uses, fear of crime, cumulative impact on the neighbourhood, and lack of consultation, as only one letter was sent out, when in actual fact it impacts the whole street, which I find very, very shocking in itself. This is not the right place, it's not the right location, and this is going to create problems and dangers for these children that I cannot and will not agree to have this application go through. I just can't agree with it. Not on my hands.
No, I understand. Is there anybody prepared to second that?
I'll second that.
Well, Councillor Penny.
Thank you. I'm just going to take away the what the actual building's going to be used for. I think that, you know, you've got a residential setting here that is going to have four cars travelling up and down, turning around at the end of it, plus all the visitors, plus all the other support that comes with a business like that. I think if we were talking of a business that wasn't a care in any respect whatsoever, a business, any type of business, that we probably would be rejecting this application because it's in the wrong place. And I think it's, we can reject it on the noise and disturbance of the residential piece within that community at the moment.
Anybody else want to speak?
Can I just clarify what Councillor Phillips has said? Noise and disturbance. So, can we just clarify what the noise and disturbance is from? Are you talking about from vehicles, from children, or from what element of the skip?
From both.
Okay. So, I think we just need to clarify that several people have mentioned four vehicles. But the proposal is actually for three at a time, and two at night, and the fourth would be when there's a daily changeover.
I accept that. However, there will be managers, there will be social workers, other visitations that won't be included in this permanent parking, and there is no parking facilities available. Even dropping that curb, you will not be able to park four cars on that space outside that house.
The third is the manager. So it's two carers plus the manager, according to the proposal.
Can you clarify that?
It's 3-day members of staff plus manager, which equates to four. That's what the document states. I may have misread it, but I thought it was two at night, three during the day, plus a manager, which makes four. Four people need four cars.
If that's correct,
can we just say that in the report?
Just get the applicant to confirm whether that's the case.
Can you please?
So we've had two staff members during the day and the manager. So there'll be three cars there during the day.
That was
my
staff.
Yeah.
Through you, Chairman, is it possible to get the applicant to confirm that there will never be a need to have four cars outside that property, that there will not be any other people coming? Or
I wasn't saying there will never be four, because clearly there will be, because as I said, there's a changeover each morning, so at a period when one comes and before the other goes, there will be four, clearly.
Sorry, Councillor Price, you wanted to clarify something?
Page 21, maximum of three daycare staff, a manager will also be present. That's four.
Do you accept what's just been said?
There is the potential. I mean, at the moment, we're looking to run a model where we have two staff plus a manager, so that's the basis we're working on.
So there's in the door, wasn't it?
Are you saying it could, because it's quite a critical point, this. Are we talking about three or are we talking about four vehicles? Routinely, operationally.
Maximum will be four.
Four.
Yeah.
Okay. Right, so if we go back to what I was saying to Councillor Phillips, so you're talking about... Oh, sorry. Noise and disturbance as a result of the additional vehicles plus...
Noise and disturbance resulting from the daily use or running of the business.
Well, what I'm trying to get you to is, if you want to refuse this
for a reason, you need to have one that's going to stand up. So it needs to be explanatory.
You need to demonstrate the planning harm, so just be a bit more specific.
Yeah.
So through your chair, so surely having four vehicles on a space that won't take four vehicles, with the potential of having emergency services on that road as well, and or any other kind of emergency needs that may occur from any instance that might happen in that house, surely that is reason in itself.
Well, that's different to noise and disturbance, isn't it?
Well, noise and disturbance is caused from the changeovers, which will, as I believe, has already been referred to in other applications, that there will be adverse noise and disturbance from changeovers.
You've got to consider this application on its own merits. You can't refer to another application.
I understand that, but the same still applies. The same set of circumstances still apply. As well as, so the noise and disturbance resulting from use, from vehicles, and from the type of facility that we're talking about, and the resultant care that's needed that goes alongside it, is going to create disturbances in the street.
Councillor Kenny?
Yes,
just speak.
Sorry. Speak. I'm trying. It's not working. Speak louder. I'll do it without it. Basically, that the daily operations within the business will have an impact on the residential amenity.
Yeah. Or a detrimental impact.
Yes.
That's what you mean.
Yes.
Is it?
Yes.
So
the daily operations
of
the business will have a detrimental impact to the residential amenity.
Of the business will have a detrimental impact on residential amenity by virtue of noise and disturbance
and vehicle access. It's not a through road, it's it is a cul-de-sac.
Well, by the normal operation of the business,
which
is what you mean.
The other thing you mentioned, Councillor Phillips, was fear of crime as well. So, okay. So, daily operation of the business, detrimental impact on residential amenity by virtue of noise and disturbance from vehicles and resulting from the type of facility and resulting care needs. And then you also want to include fear of crime. Is that correct?
That is correct. I know that there is antisocial behaviour on that particular estate, and the police have been called out on numerous occasions. If we're talking about children up to the age of 18 that may have alcohol dependence, drug dependence, and this is a possible, then it's not really an environment that we want to place them in anyway, where they could be influenced by the goings on of the estate.
Okay. So you're proposing that this application be rejected. Was a seconder?
Yeah.
Right, so we have a... Right, so the proposition is that this application as presented is rejected. Those in favour of that motion?
One. Two, three, four.
Those who sit, who it, are the view that it should be accepted.
One, two, three, four.
So it leaves the chairman's casting vote, which I would vote that the application be accepted.
Oh, yeah.
You've
got
to live in the street.
Yeah, how much of the back end are you getting? Shame on you. If I should clear evidence, you just turn it upside down. Disgraceful.
No, I think we now go on to the appeals. So would you like to take us through that, please?
Thank you, Chairman. On page 46, notified appeals, you can see there are three new appeals received. She listed it there, and there are then two appeal decisions, which are then listed, and then you've got the actual appeal decisions on the following pages. So, the appeal at the Hough Retail Park, retrospective application for amendments, the appeal was dismissed. And as you're aware from a previous resolution, there is a resolution to take enforcement action, so that will now proceed. And then the other application on here, Osborne House, Main Road, Milford, the appeal for a change of use was allowed. So, unless anybody's got any questions on that.
Thank you,
Chair. I'd like to ask John, with the Hough,
yeah.
What was it before they gravelled it? What was it? Were the trees planted there? Are they going to have to replant trees?
It goes back to the planning permission that was granted probably about 4 years ago by this committee. So what we will do will be to require them to go back to that. So basically they've taken additional areas of grass of other landscaping and either gravelled it or tarmacked it, and got basically more cars on display on the areas. Originally it was this, put forward as being a relatively, how do they describe it? I think they described it as a relatively small number of high value cars, and now it appears to be, look a bit similar to, in my view, to any other car. So, yes, we will go back to what the original permission was.
As I recall, it had a tree with a TPO which was removed because it had some kind of rot or something.
Yeah, there was.
And they should have put another one back in its place. Mm-hmm. It sits within a conservation area, so the grass and the foliage should never have been touched anyway. And they flattened everything and gravelled it and put cars on the front, which they weren't supposed to do. So they've gone against everything that was laid out in the initial planning application, as I remember. But it seems to be another one of these situations where you've got a business that feels that they are a law unto themselves and don't have to abide by the planning regulations laid out. And just because they're in a conservation area, it doesn't apply to them. They can do what they want. I'm glad that this is, appeal has been dismissed. It's the correct decision, and it goes to show that the right decision was made in the first place.
Councillor Trowbridge.
Thank you. John, this one annoys me. The one at Milford, where the mills, the appeal's been accepted. If a planning application came in for farmland to be turned into a domestic garden, it would never go through, and yet they've accepted it here. It really does upset me, that one, actually. It's always the same. When they just do it retrospectively, they seem to get away with it, and it really, really winds me up.
Yeah, I'd say that you're right in the sense that sometimes appeals are allowed like that, but they're not always. I guess it depends on the circumstances. I don't know what the individual circumstances are at Main Road Milford. I'm not quite sure what the agricultural use would have been on that land. But
maybe it was just
we'll complete the review of the appeals. Okay, thank you for your attendance. It's been an exciting evening.
Chairman, just before members go, it looks like we won't have a normal meeting 3 weeks from now. However, we're looking to arrange probably two special committee meetings in August, probably one in the week of the 15th and one in the week of the 22nd. We've got an application at Stone, and obviously the site visit for the fence that you considered earlier on this agenda. So we would do those two at one time, and then we've got an application at Burley Fields in Stafford, which we would probably do separately because otherwise there'd be too much on one agenda.
Can I just ask, is that application in Stone, is it a referral back to the committee? So does it need to be the same committee members sitting on that application?
The application, it needs to go to a site visit anyway. It's the data centre, or the former data centre, on the... When you go on the 34 into Stone, when you come to the first roundabout, it's on that corner there.
I know what you mean.
And then the other one is the one we considered earlier tonight, Red Hill Road. That's been, was discussed in committee on the 16th, I think it was of June.
And it was put forward.
So, ideally, it would be beneficial if members are the same ones that considered that before, but I don't think it's essential, because if you're going to do a site visit, then you will see the, all of the circumstances, and we will just go through the presentation again. So I wouldn't say in that case it's essential that people have heard the previous debate, because I think the debate will be different because of the site visit anyway.
So the 21 days would have been something like August the 16th. And we won't have a meeting of the paper to do that now.
Yeah, I think it would have been the 17th, that's right. So we're looking at one special that week and one the following week.
Right. Okay. Thank you very much for your attention.